There's a brief lull. The clouds have given way, and a calm is upon us. Now is the time to rest and learn. This is the Eye of the Storm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of Eye of the Storm. I'm DM Drew, and today I got a very, very special guest with me, Donnie, your very favorite gnomish rogue, also known as Lemmy, to talk about character death in your role-playing games.
What do I know about that, though?
I don't know. Maybe you have a first-hand experience.
I guess I'll just have to ad-lib it, because I don't know what you're talking about.
I know. So, character death. I mean, honestly, every person who's playing in a role-playing game, I think, personally, should really expect it, honestly. I mean, yeah. you can't have characters that are you're assuming are going to live forever.
It's going
to
happen.
It is inevitable. I mean, even Peter Pan, you know, said that to die would be an awfully grand adventure. So I mean, with character deaths, I think that probably the first thing that should get out of the way, and players should very much understand, death happens.
Yeah.
Deal with it. I think it's definitely one of those things where, yeah, you can make a character, you can be very much attached to it, but there's going to come a time when either they die from, you know, a mishap of the dice rolls, or frankly, your character is just going to, you know, grow old and die. So, I mean, I think the understanding of players, and more importantly, like the DM, to help them understand that your guy can die.
Yeah, and it sucks.
And it does suck. It does suck. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with, like, being upset over a character death. You should be upset with a character death.
You put a lot of work into that character. It had, like, a path that you wanted to follow.
Right.
And it gets cut short.
Right.
By
dice and make-believe things. Yeah. So, I mean, you could have a character for, you know, years, and finally they die. And sure, like, the emotional, like, you know, turmoil that can go with it, because, I mean, literally, you put blood, sweat, and tears and Mountain Dew into that character sheet, and it's yours. It's your baby. Or you can even have the more frustrating factor of, like, all right, level one. Session one, let's do this. I died? Yeah. And I mean, even there, you should have, you know, the understanding of, like, hey, even at level one, things can kill you. I mean, taking into consideration the different editions that you could be playing for, like, Dungeons and Dragons, the old adage and the joke that'd be like, oh, you're a spellcaster? You have 2 hit points? Yeah. Stay away from the cat. The cat can kill you. Having the players not only already being prepared for a regular game session, they should, like, you know, they should be prepared for death. They should definitely have a backup character ready to go.
Oh, I require my players to have at least 3.
Oh, we're supposed to have 3? Starfinder, I only have 1.
Well, we're going to have a lull then when you have to roll your 3rd character up in one session.
But, I mean, you should definitely have an extra character ready to go. I think any player that, and I don't want to mean this, like, in a negative way, but I think any player that's worth their salt that is joining a game, you should definitely have a character ready. You should probably already enjoy making a character.
Yeah.
And, you know, just having it ready to go for that, you know, just unfortunate incident when something can go awry.
I mean, if not, like, having the sheet and everything filled out, have, like, another, at least a concept. Like, oh, if this guy goes down, here's what I want to try next. Be ready to hammer one out.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, definitely have, I mean, right, if it's not complete, at least have an idea.
Yeah.
Of what you're wanting to play. You know, if you're playing this elven rogue and your guy dies to a trap, I mean, cool. Maybe you thought of already, like, all right, well, we don't have a healer. Just in case I die, I have my dwarven cleric at the ready.
Yeah. And the party's not going to find a replacement for you in the next room. So, like, story-wise, you'll have time to, you know, figure out a way to insert that new character in.
Exactly. So, I mean, even with the DM having to be prepared for character death, I think it's definitely a good standing for the DM to not only be ready for if a character dies, console and make the, you know, characters or the players understand that when a character dies, you know, X, Y, and Z can happen, and they have those choices. But then it's kind of the understanding that now you had a group of 5. it's down a group of four, but you planned this module or this adventure, this session to have five players.
Yeah.
Even to even, you know, with the possibility of someone dying. Now, do you feel that a DM should in that moment kind of tweak the module to have things a little, you know, not be as, you know, dire for the current group because, you know, now they're just down a player?
That's not a decision I would make right away. I wouldn't change anything, but I would keep an eye out. And if it seemed like they were getting overwhelmed, maybe dial it down a notch. I mean, I'm not going to give it to them, but I mean, we're all here to have fun. I, you know, wouldn't purposely be, you know, building towards a TPK.
Right. Now, there are definitely modules out there that are meant to kill people.
Yeah.
There are, you know, modules that are very famous for having very large numbers of TPK. I mean, we're not discussing, like, the Tomb of Horrors, which... no one really wins the Tomb of Horrors. Even if you somehow survive to the end and you are able to escape, I mean, odds are more than half your group is already dead. Your character is probably never going to be the same. But then you can even have lower level modules like the Forge of Fury, which is found in the Yawning Portal. That thing is notorious for killing players. And it's this, you know, great module back from like 3.5, which was part of this, you know, grand adventure path. I mean, even at third level, you have things that are not necessarily villains or creatures that are there to kill you. You have natural environments. Like, one of the most dangerous things, you know, in D&D is running water. And... and I mean, there's a waterfall where if they slip and fall into the river, they go right over a waterfall. And so, I mean, you have to like notice the fact that if you fall down a crevice and, you know, you're not hit by the goblin's arrows, like there are things that are there to kill you that are definitely don't have stats.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely the idea of a GM to possibly in advance be considered enough to consider, is this too much for my current players?
Yeah.
Is this going to be dangerous for them?
In a scenario like that, I think the players are going to be walking into that knowing, I'm likely to die here.
Right.
They should have, like, a Rolodex of backups.
Exactly. So, okay, so speaking of, like, a Rolodex of backups or anything where, again, more it's going to involve the GM's kind of policy towards how the death is going to be played out. With your experience in Critstorm, you know, I kind of, you know, allowed some DM magic, but also played off of the fact of Theranor using the monkey's paw. Should a DM bring back a character? Should it be definitely more DM magic, or should it actually somehow involve the players? Because like we talked in our, you know, episode on restoration and bringing dead characters back, there are a multitude of spells that that players can use. So,
not available to first level players.
Definitely not available to first level players. But I mean, should it? I mean, there are methods for stabilizing people and bringing them back. So I mean, if you use a med kit and you at least roll a 10, you can stabilize them. If someone casts like a simple healing spell on you, it can definitely bring you back from unconsciousness.
Yeah, and in that instance, I mean, that was kind of a controversial potentially decision that you made. I don't know if I would have made that, but. It was super bad luck. Crit on an attack of opportunity with a monster that had debilitating effects. Just, I mean, what were the chances that right. one of us was going to go down there? But that's what the dice decreed. Given the circumstances, I mean, I think I probably would have made that same call once.
Right, right.
The podcast was... in its infancy, pretty much. It was like episode like 5 or 6 or something
right,
like that.
Right. Even Thomas is all like, you're not supposed to kill us yet. Like, we haven't done anything.
Plus, I think my favorite aspect about that was the character development for Theranor.
Oh, very much so. You know, using the monkey's paw and then, you know, having it have the negative side effects for him for losing, you know, so many like permanent hit points. And having now like a kind of a grayish tone, you have like a grayish tone to your skin a little bit.
Yeah. So in that case, I probably would have done the same thing if I had been DMing.
Now, when you take a look at like different opportunities to find information for Dungeons & Dragons and different tips for players and DMs out there on YouTube, you have the crew over at Nerdarchy, you know, you have Dave and Ted, where they discuss... that there was something that they used back in the day called the death tax. And I've never really heard it referred to as the death tax, but I do understand the mechanics that they're referring to, where if a player is definitely brought back from the dead, and say you're all level 5, and you all die, you know, the character dies at 5, do you believe that they should be brought back at fifth as well, or possibly at a lower level like four?
If I remember right from the previous episode that I was on, the spells that do that, while costly, they don't necessarily like lower your level or anything, right?
No, they do not lower your actual level.
It's I would go by the book.
Yeah. Okay. So going is raw, and it's kind of excluding the fact of, you know, the death tax is definitely more of a house rule kind of flavor thing, because almost the idea of, well, I mean, it's definitely a character decision to use like a resurrection spell and to bring the other player back, because either it's so dire to the story, or possibly they just want to, like, you know, bring people back because they just have a heart for it. Like, 100%, if you were in danger again, I guarantee Juju would try everything that she possibly could, because now she's kind of taken this, like, mother bird thing to you, to Lemmy. And it's kind of the idea of, like, well, I mean, should the character be saved? Should they be, you know, stopping, you know, the ebb and flows of death? Is this kind of detracting from the idea of, like, what the dice are really trying to say?
I like the idea of the death tax, but I think, like we were talking about before with the resurrection stuff, there's that table that you roll on to see if there's anything wrong. I like the more thematic price to pay. Like, I would give somebody some horrific disfigurement, like make them left-handed or have freckles or something. Something that would, you know, come out in role play more.
Right. So, you have no soul. I'm a ginger? What? No, that's not what I said. All right. How do you feel that a DM should integrate the death into the overall story? I mean, if it's something that just happened by bad luck of the dice, if it's just a complete mistake, like maybe someone's attempting a jump and they fail the jump and they fall, and then they die, or maybe they just in the local tavern and they end up losing. I mean, should they make the death really important to the overall story, or is it mainly kind of a, okay, well, this is definitely sad, but we're going to move on now?
Yeah, I mean, the death is obviously important to the player. And I mean, I don't know that I've ever had a character die. And it, like, if somebody was jumping or something like that and they missed it, I would give them other opportunities, dex saves. I wouldn't just do like, okay, well, here's the falling damage, you're dead. I would bend the rules a little to give them another chance. I mean, they might die still, and you know, if it came to that, then that's what happens. But I'm, as a DM, I'm much more lenient, more concerned with my players having a good time and progressing the story than getting bogged down in like really tight rules like that.
Now, if a character does die and the DM is allowing, obviously, the new player to be introduced, you know, for their character to join the group again, it shouldn't, in my personal opinion, it should definitely not be right away. Because, like, as you said, like, there's no new NPC or no, you know, new character just waiting in the next room, twiddling their thumbs. This isn't, you know, the gamers where they just randomly come across a new character. You seem trustworthy. Will you join our party?
Kids, suit up. You're off the bench.
Right.
Put
me in, coach. I'm ready. So with it, it's very important to understand, like, as a GM, and again, same thing for a player. If you die early in the evening and you need to make a character, I think it's very, very clear and important to understand that you're not coming in 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
You're probably not even coming in an hour later.
Not coming in that session, maybe not the next session, or at least not in the beginning of it. There would have to be a legit story reason to introduce them. And I would work with the player on that. Like, what are you going to roll? How do they fit into this party? Why are they going to be interested in joining this party? Like, what circumstances is going to put them in the path of this party? So I would want to make it a cool story bit, how that new character joined.
Right, exactly. And if your adventuring party is, you know, not even near any kind of well-established civilization, or hell, even like a little mountain village, I mean, again, like, where are you going to randomly get a character? It should make sense for, you know, the aspect of someone new just coming along. So I think it's definitely worthwhile for the players to be, you know, very much understanding of, like, yeah, you may have to go home or log out and make your character, and, you know, I will contact you later and see exactly what your character is going to be and how we can integrate them into the story. And I mean, if their player dies and you guys are having an actual session either in person or online and they want to stay, I don't necessarily see a problem with, you know, not, you know, like, I mean, with allowing the player to stay, there's nothing wrong. I think it's very...
Oh, when Lemmy went down, I mean, I stuck around. I didn't want to say anything.
Right.
Because, I mean, obviously I couldn't, like, give advice to the party, or I didn't want to make jokes or anything like that. So I'm just like... quiet for the rest of the episode.
Right. But I mean, even then, there was the one episode where, you know, you came back on and you said, like, am I still dead? And we were like, yeah, currently you're still dead. And he was like, okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah, I didn't want to listen in on that episode because I didn't want to know anything that Lemmy didn't know. So when he woke up, or, you know, if you guys, man, I know it's kind of up in the air, like, are they going to be able to revive him or not? And right. I didn't want to know what happened in the interim. So if he came back, I wanted to be like, well, what's going on, guys?
Right, exactly. And I think it's like, it can be definitely very much important to storyline-wise that if a new player is coming in, it's not being mean, but if you really want like that fresh start and actual good role-playing experience with a new player, and especially with a new character, maybe send the person to the other room or, you know, have them, I don't know. I mean, it goes along with the idea of... how well can they not metagame?
Yeah.
To be able to watch and understand, like, what has transpired.
Yeah, I definitely wanted that with Lemmy. So it was, I did not want to listen to that recording. And it was a while after. And you guys had kind of filled me in, but I didn't even listen to the episode when it came out. Like, I've since listened to it to catch up. But yeah, I didn't want to know.
With characters dying, I think, obviously, with a majority of role players, and not that it is really a bad thing, because I remember it, you know, back in my early days of playing the game. When someone dies, the first reaction, whether friend or foe, I think the first reaction is to immediately, you know, loot the body. What would you say, as a player, would be the protocol if one of your party members up and dies?
Tricky. I mean, if they had some good stuff on them and they, you know, it wasn't likely we were going to bring them back. Yeah, we're not going to give them a Viking funeral with all their possessions and, like, you know, send the canoe into the unknown. No, that shit's useful.
Right. Just watch the boat float away on fire. And you're like, that was a +2 sword.
Depending on the, like, environmental circumstances, if we're, like, in a snowy pass or something, we might even eat them.
This is good, Phil. Please pass the Phil.
Waste not, want not.
No, I think that's very smart with it.
Yeah. Now, I have warned my Starfinder players that I'm not going to be as lenient with dice rolls and stuff like that. And if a character dies, the character dies.
Hmm. I know that on Critical Role, like, when a character is dying, they're, you know, they're allowed that one last action that won't necessarily, you know, obviously save their lives. So maybe they can, you know, they can reach for the stars and the hands collapse, or they're allowed to give that one last, like, you know, rosebud.
Yeah.
And I mean, it totally goes against, like, how Raw is, where, you know, when you're at zero, you're unconscious.
Yeah.
And you are clearly going to start dying at the beginning of the next round on your turn. So, I mean, do you think that's acceptable?
Yeah, I mean, that's just good cinematics.
And if for anybody who is not completely aware exactly how a character is going to die in Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition. So, if you are dropped to zero hit points, you immediately go unconscious, and at the beginning of your next round, you have to start making death saving throws. You get 3 death saving throws. If you roll on a d20 with no modifiers, a 10 or above, you make a success. If you make 3 successes, so 3 turns in a row, you stabilize and you are not going to die. Now, if you roll a natural 20, it counts as 2 successes. However, if you roll a natural 1, you know, same thing, it counts as 2 failures. If you are attacked while you are on the ground unconscious, it not only counts as 2 failures for your death throws, but the attack that's made against you is a critical hit, and it's done at advantage. So if you are dying, hopefully your party is going to be, you know, pretty watchful and make sure that you are you're pretty safe and you're not going to be, you know, in danger's way. With instant death, this is when you hit 0 hit points from the damage that you take. And if there is still excess damage, if that excess damage that goes beyond 0 exceeds your max hit points. So, you know, just take for the idea of if you are at, if you have 5 hit points, you have a max HP of 8. You take the 5, but really it was 14 hit points and you take, you know, 9 more. Well, just by that one extra point, you instantly die. Huh. And I think at that point, it's just, it's no, there's, yeah. You just got,
there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. You gotta look them in the eye, hold their hand and say, no, it's over. It's not your fault, man. It's not your fault.
I wouldn't even give that guy a last, like, dying, you know, moment.
No, and I mean, considering, like, what actually killed you, definitely things are not gonna be able to allow, like, a last minute, you know, scream or saying, I love you. I mean, if your head's chopped off and your head's chopped off, if you fall into lava, well, I mean, maybe you can give a Terminator thumbs up. But yeah, depending on what the death is, I think definitely you're not going to get that cinematic, you know, good storyline type of farewell to arms.
Yeah.
Have you really never had a character die?
I don't think so.
That's
not
weird.
That I can remember.
I mean, not that, like, I'm trying to think. Not that I've had, like, you know, this gross amount of character death. I think I've only had probably 2 die and, you know, 20 plus years of playing, but
yeah, I'm sure you've run a lot more games than I have too.
You know, honestly, I've only been running games probably maybe 14 or 12 years. Like, I mean, not that much, but yeah, I tend to GM a lot more than I play. So I'll definitely see a lot more death because, you know, NPCs are just dying left and right. Well, Donnie, thank you for joining us on Eye of the Storm to talk about character death.
No problem. It's actually appropriate because my team, Tottenham, died character death today against freaking Newcastle. So I was kind of in that zone already.
Soccer, ladies and gentlemen. He's speaking of soccer.
Football.
Football.
Football, yeah.
Okay, guys, join us in 1 week's time for another exciting episode of Crit Stormcast, where we join Theranor, Aoife, Pock, and Lemmy as they, you know, just continue their nonsense through Talcure. And then in another week's time after that, you come on back here for another episode of Eye of the Storm to, you know, just put on your learning hat and just sit down, do some homework, all that good jazz. We'll see you then.
Thank you for weathering the storm with us. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CritStormCast. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts, and please recommend us to your friends. Look to the horizon for more Crit Storms.